Ladies and gentlemen, welcome wrestling fans worldwide to Knoxville and the Great Smoky Mountains for the Ron Fuller Tennessee Studcast.
6 feet 9 inches tall, 265 pounds.
This historic podcast from one of the most respected and successful wrestlers and promoters will follow the footsteps of the largest and oldest wrestling family on the planet.
Listen to what I'm saying. That's right. Bring that camera in here a little bit closer.
Through 93 years and four generations.
The stud has arrived.
Old school or new fan, this unique broadcast will educate and captivate as Ron details decades of professional wrestling's growth with truly unforgettable stories.
I want those people out there at home to hear the stud.
Sit back and enjoy the ride with the Tennessee Stud.
The Tennessee Stud. You will learn that name, you will remember it.
And now,
the stud is here.
Hey everybody, welcome in. Here it is, another Studcast with the Tennessee Stud, Ron Fuller. I'm David Summers. This is the story of wrestling in America, as told by the stud, whose family started the profession over 100 years ago. So now, let's step back into the ring and back into time. Let's get wall to wall, tree top tall, with the Tennessee Stud, Ron Fuller. Hey, Ron, what a tremendous studcast the last one was last week, especially for those listening on your TennesseeStudStreaming.com channel, no doubt.
Oh, you mean not just the ones listening, Dave, but also the ones that are watching that studcast on the streaming channel. And as I've been saying for the last month, there is an entirely new, totally different studcast now. And it's only going to be found at TennesseeStudStreaming.com. And what I've been dreaming about for more than 7 years has finally arrived. Now, I now have a great number of the original Southeastern TV shows recorded from the late 1980s all the way into 1985 when Southeastern became Continental Championship Wrestling. And not only do I have them to add to my own streaming channel, as TV shows, Southeastern produced between 1980 and 85, but most of those are in their entirety, but I have them to also add bits and pieces of entire matches and interviews to my studcast.
You know, your studcast from the first one ever done has been one of the most popular wrestling podcasts on the planet. I mean, you don't have to convince me how much these actual TV shows and footage from those adds to your studcast audience for real. All right, so I already have your TennesseeStudStreaming.com channel, and it's the only place I'll be getting my studcast anymore. To me, no comparison between the old studcast and with just audio and the new studcast with video of the matches, interviews, personality profiles, and so much more.
Well, I have to admit, Dave, I'm just beginning to realize myself, after doing only a handful of these new studcasts, how much difference it makes inserting video from the original TV shows into the same week as the studcast that I'm talking about. And that old saying, you know, is exactly right. A picture is worth 1,000 words. And now I got to add to that, man. I got to say a video is worth several thousand words.
The videos have changed everything, and for only $4.99 per month, $4.99 per month, or save 15% and get an entire year for only $49.99, your new studcast are absolutely free. I think your streaming channel is definitely the best deal in wrestling.
Fans are going to get almost 200 hours of Southeastern, Continental, and USA TV shows alone now. Plus more than 100 short rides with the stud, ask the stud question and answer shows, studcast archives, tributes to fallen stars, stud stories, and now the new studcast with videos is going to be on there for free.
You know, and listeners need to be aware you've made a big decision about studcast in the future. Fans are going to get this studcast and one more next week, and after that, the only place fans will be able to get studcast is on TennesseeStudStreaming.com and possibly Roku in the future, which would be really great.
Well, these studcasts, man, have been positively convinced me that this is exactly what I've always wanted to do for my fans. I've always wanted to give them a much better product, and that's what they deserve. And I think that's exactly what's happening with this new studcast.
Good deal. All right. Speaking of what they deserve, where are we riding in this studcast? This is number 385 in the third week of January, 1981. It's titled Paul Orndorff Arrives and Brad's Hurt.
Well, we're going to be discussing the next card, man, following the second round of these eight-man tag matches over the last two studcasts, with this last one being $30,000 bonus money given to the team that won the most tag matches during that second week of these matches. And this new studcast was a dramatic change from the last 2 weeks. This one has three championship matches. It has five videos. And it has almost 20 minutes of action in this one. So in the last studcast, we had much less than 20 minutes of video from the event in the second week of January 1981. This time, we're going to top that with over 20 minutes. And if you already have your TennesseeStudStreaming.com channel, you're going to be seeing Jimmy Golden pin Jerry Stubbs in a non-title match. You're also going to see Paul Orndorff in his first ever Southeastern match. Big Ron Bass going to be in action on this one. And you're going to see an injury to one of the Southeastern tag champions in the tag match. And then an interview with the New York bad boy himself, Johnny Valiant, about his feelings toward the Tennessee Stud. So if you don't have the streaming channel yet, you will hear the commentary for all these, but you won't be able to see the action. So we'll be talking about the entire TV show for this week. We're going to be talking about January 1981, the third week, basically, the results of the matches, the attendances in the four major markets. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully, Dave, we may have time for another learning tree question, kind of like we did last podcast.
I'll tell you what, there's obviously a lot going on this one. Why don't we get into writing, starting with the card for the week beginning on Monday? Take us back to January 12th, 1981 in Birmingham, Alabama. Set it up for us.
Well, that's a good place to start, my man. Robert Gibson was facing the Russian, Alexei Smirnov. Newcomer Paul Orndorff was in his very first match in Birmingham against Oki Shekina. Third match was another handicap match for Mr. Saito. He was going to be taking on two brothers, Ted and Jerry Oates. Both of those guys were out of Columbus, Georgia. Both of those were great wrestlers, but Saito is something else. Fourth match was the big cowboy Ron Bass wrestling the former shadow Norvell Austin. Jerry Stubbs was going to be defending his United States Junior Heavyweight Championship against the challenger Jimmy Golden. Then for the Southeastern Tag Championship, the champions Bob and Brad Armstrong were facing the former champions Dennis Condrey and Randy Rose. Seventh match of the night was the Tennessee Stud defending the Southeastern Heavyweight title against Johnny Valiant from New York City.
Really a terrific card, Stud. Three title matches, a one against two handicap match, and some of the best wrestlers in the world in the other three matches. All right, so who and what was on the TV show to set this whole card up and promote this whole show?
Well, this TV opened up with a video in progress. It was of the last eight-man tag match for the $30,000 bonus that was going to be presented to the team that won the most out of the four total tag matches during the course of that week. They were going to get a $30,000 bonus. The team of Ron Bass, Mr. Saito, Dennis Condrey, and Randy Rose, they had already won two of the matches, and the team of Bob Armstrong, Brad Armstrong, Johnny Valiant, and the Tennessee Stud had only won one. But if they won this last match, both teams would have ended in a tie. And who knew what Don Curtis was going to do if that happened? He was going to have to figure out how to settle this. But the Stud, Bob and Brad, were all getting the job done, basically, on these four wrestlers on the other team. And that had been the case in just about all four of their last matches. eight-man tags. But one guy had done practically nothing to help his team except stand in the corner while everything was going on around him, and that was Johnny Valiant. Tennessee Stud finally managed to put his Fuller leg lock on Ron Bass, which would have been just about an automatic win. And if that win would have been a tie for the number of victories for that team of the Stud and Bob and Brad Armstrong and obviously our New Yorker, Valiant. So for the first time in any of the last four matches, Johnny Valiant went running across the ring. One of his first times to even get in the ring, it seemed like, during any of these four matches. He ran across the ring and he dropped an elbow on one of the two men that was lying there, but not on Bass, who was supposed to be his opponent, but across the Stud's throat. Then Valiant started stomping the Stud, and he had already opened a cut on the Stud's head when the other team came in to help him. That left the only two guys on the team, Stud's team, was the two Armstrongs. There they were against Ron Bass, Saito, Condrey, and Rose, while Valiant was taking care of business, still stomping the Stud all to pieces. And the four men on the other team, they threw both Armstrongs out of the ring as Valiant kept pounding the Stud, and then all five got on the Stud. And while the Valiant still probably did most of the damage. So it was a Texas death match rules with no disqualification. So Valiant finally pinned the Stud, got the three count for the opposing team. He won the match for the opposing team. Then the Stud couldn't get to his feet after the 30-second rest period. So his team lost the match and the money. And Valiant, with his new friends, got their hands raised. Later, they split the $30,000 five ways. They obviously gave Valiant a cut, and Valiant made himself $6,000 for his part in that.
Wow. I mean, you had been doing several of those videos as the TV shows opened up, but I bet this one really got the fans' attention.
Oh, yeah, especially with Valiant. As soon as this was over, Valiant came to the set. And he was flashing his money around and saying it was the easiest money he ever made. And even he had to come back south. And, you know, he said he didn't even mind he had to come back south and be around all these peanut pickers and uneducated rednecks, you know, if he could make this kind of easy money.
Yeah, I didn't think Johnny Valiant lasted too long, as I remember, but he really had some heat after this. So what happened after Valiant went back to the dressing room?
Well, it was Jimmy Golden's turn, man, and he came to the set. And he had a non-title match with Jerry Stubbs 2 days before this TV show, and he beat Stubbs in the non-title match. The day afterward, he was booked to meet Jerry Stubbs for Stubbs' United States Junior Heavyweight belt the following week. You know, after that win, he's going to get the championship shot. And then they had a weigh-in to see if both men could make that 225-pound weight limit, which was customary because pretty odd to be at 225. And at the weigh-in, which I obviously don't have that video, wish the heck we did, but at the weigh-in, Stubbs caught Jimmy off guard, and he hit him with a cheap shot while they were doing the weigh-in. Busted Jimmy's right eye.
Come on.
While they were doing a weigh-in, Jimmy was at the set to show the match where he beat Stubbs and also to show his busted eye, too. And he was ready, man, more than ready at this point to get a shot at the belt. So this is going to be the first video we're going to have in this show, this studcast today. It was recorded, this entire TV show, on January 10th, 1981. It's going to be the first of five videos in this studcast, and a total of about 20 minutes of wrestling history from the past is going to be in this one.
All right, here we go. I think that's even more time than we spent on it last week, Stud. All right, Brian, crank it up for us. Let's do it.
Go back to that gym and keep on pumping them weights and get good and ready because you're going to need it. comments of Jimmy Golden. Jimmy, certainly we see why you're upset because of the incident at the weigh-in. This particular match, you did defeat Jerry Stubbs, and as you brought out, it's unfortunate that it was a non-title match.
Well, that's true. I just wish the people could see the weigh-in that we had. Stubbs, you goofy idiot. I could have been over the 225 limit, but no, you didn't give nobody a chance to see how much I weighed. So that's all cut and dried. I'm going to get my title match, brother, and we'll be on to you when I do. Now, right here, he, instead of paying attention to me, he's strutting around showing his big muscles off, but that ain't going to do you no good, Daddy. The tide's going to turn here in a minute, and if people's going to see that I can beat Jerry Stubbs, I will beat him every time I get in the ring with him.
Jimmy, I think as we watch this tape, the ironic thing is, had Jerry Stubbs have left his hands off you this morning, had you waited and been 1 pound or a half a pound over the limit, he wouldn't have had to have wrestled you at all, which is what he's expressed the last couple of weeks. But now, regardless, without the weigh-in, he is forced into a title situation with you.
That's right. I got my title match over the limit, under the limit, whatever it is, brother. I got the match. And Jerry Stubbs, I'm going to whip your butt, boy, like you ain't never had it done, like you getting it right there now on that television camera. You're going to get it better than that. You're going to pay for this eye, these stitches I got in my eye. I'm going to give you some just like it on both eyes if I can. And right here you can see I'm wearing him out pretty good. We've had a knockdown drag out. We're both tired. And we both, Stubbs has started out bending the rules a little bit. So I figure it's my time to bend them, son. He's getting a little taste of his own medicine. How do you like it, Jerry Stubbs? Feel good?
Of course, as you, Jimmy has mentioned, he is in control of the match at this particular point and completely dominating offensively as Jerry Stubbs is on the run.
Well, right here, this now he's behind me. He's shoving me in for a roll-up. He thinks he's got the pin. He got close to it, but not quite close enough. I'm trying to kick him, keep him away from me here. I'm going to get back up to my feet. Here I'm throwing him in, tried to monkey flip him. He hung trying to get on top of me, but it reversed out the other way. I came on top and counted his shoulders down. 1, 2, 3. And there's your winner, ladies and gentlemen, right there on the floor. Jerry Stubbs, anytime, baby. Anytime that I can get in the ring with you, I'm going to show you what fighting's all about, boy. I want you to go to that gym and get ready. All the people here know my reputation. I'm the meanest, roughest son of a gun that's ever been here. And I'm going to show you, boy, who is number one. I'm going to show you what I can do. It's know-how, Daddy. It's know-how.
Comments of Jimmy Golden.
Okay, wow, what a great non-title match that was. Jimmy beat him right in the middle of the ring with a championship match coming the following week. All right, so Stud, set it up for us. Who was in the next one?
Well, Jerry Stubbs, man, he had his belt with him. He was going to be in the next, he was in the next live match, first live match in this studcast. Mm-hmm. And he didn't take long to finish his TV opponent. Jerry was a great wrestler, man. Had to give the devil his due. And the upcoming matches between him and Jimmy Golden were going to be just that, Golden, man.
All right, so what came next?
Well, the match I promised last week, Paul Orndorff. It was going to be his first Southeastern TV match. He had already won the North American Championship in Bill Watts' Mid-South Territory, which was in the territory that was just to the west of Southeastern. And Paul was up against another young star from that time who was still wrestling today. I think he's still wrestling today, a guy named Chick Donovan.
Okay, so in my opinion, Paul Orndorff was one of the all-time greats. All right, Brian, set it up for us. Play the piece, this piece of wrestling history.
One fall with a 15-minute time limit. Introducing at 245 pounds from Tampa, Florida, Paul Orndorff. Paul Orndorff, his opponent at 223 from California, Golden Boy Donovan.
Donovan out against Paul Orndorff, and we're getting our first look at Golden Boy here on the Southeastern Wrestling. And Orndorff's ready to go with the bell, Charlie, but the Golden One is not prepared. He's going to take that headband off the vest. Donovan coming into the area with good credentials. Just going to come off the West Coast some weeks ago. I'm not sure if I want to grab a hold of all that gold glitter or not, Charlie. But Orndorff did collar an elbow at jockey for position. And we're looking at physique contest in there, too. Orndorff and Donovan, both well put together. Donovan with the first move, the body slam. And right back at it, former North American champion Paul Orndorff. On the second run, arm drag. Has Donovan going outside of the ring. Paul Orndorff coming on strong against Golden Boy Chick Donovan. Takes his man back in, into the ropes. Good, high back body drop. Orndorff takes down and Orndorff in control again.
Chick was a very happy man. He got the first move in after the bell. He got that body slam. But while he was busy savoring his good move, Orndorff moved right in with a series of slams, arm drags, and Donovan on the run. Right now, Orndorff barring that left arm of Chick Donovan.
And it's Orndorff spinning around, applying the pressure. Golden Boy Donovan, hands full with Paul Orndorff, former North American heavyweight champion. Orndorff, outstanding competitor in great physical condition. And whether it be singles or tag team action, you can rest assured that Paul Orndorff will not back down from the best of them. Over on the ropes now, Tommy Weathers calling for the break.
Elbow by Donovan and staggers the big man from Tampa. Donovan with that headlock now driving fairly the thumb into the windpipe. Hall trying to get that wind back. Donovan moving in on him now. And again going for it. Donovan has no problem expressing his pleasure at being on top of the heap at this moment, but Orndorff, not a man you can count out easily, Charlie.
Orndorff firing back, but it's Donovan with a good connection of the side of the head. Locked in tight. And here we see Paul Orndorff on defense in this corner of the match.
Donovan applying that pressure. Orndorff trying to slide his way out into the hammerlock. He does. And Donovan moving right to the ropes. Will get the break. Donovan, a hit-and-run artist. He moves in, takes the shots in the air for him, and keeps moving when his opponent is trying to double him up there. Nice orange move on Orndorff's part. Wrapping that arm, throwing that weight back, and the pressure going into the shoulder joint. Donovan being slowed down now as Paul Orndorff moves in, trying to press the advantage. Donovan gets him with a kick and a couple rabbit punches. Drop Paul into that turnbuckle, head first. Donovan on the move, and the advantage here has seesawed back and forth, Charlie.
Indeed. Orndorff fires into the midsection, good connection side of the head, and again on the golden one. High back body drop. Orndorff moves in. Snap bear takedown. Crashes down with that left.
Nice knee drop by Paul, and he stunned the golden one on that one. Into that turnbuckle goes Donovan. Donovan lost his footing trying to stay on his feet and couldn't do it. Orndorff moves in now. He's got command. Shoots his man across the ring, goes to the drop kick, catches him on the rebound. Power slam. And out is Donovan. Orndorff sets him up, sends him across into the turnbuckle. But Donovan with the knee up. Stops Orndorff, moves in on him now. Looked like Paul may have been ready to put him away there, but Donovan got the knee up.
Look at this. Look at Orndorff.
hooked it very nicely, Charlie. Donovan thought he had it put together. Orndorff saw it coming, hooked him, put him away with that nice back slide and the body press. It's all over. The winner, Paul Orndorff, coming up. A lot more action here on Southeastern Championship Wrestling.
Okay, Ron, I hope fans are aware these recordings are like 44 years old, and some of them a little fuzzier than others, and sometimes the audio can be a little bit low, but no one can deny the action in the ring was absolutely outstanding 44 years ago. All right, so what about the personality profile? Who was on that?
Well, it was Charlie Platt and the Tennessee Stud. And it was all about what had happened the week before in that last eight-man tag team match at the beginning of this show, where Jimmy Valiant had turned on his partners, specifically the Stud. And in the upcoming week, Johnny Valiant was going to get his shot at the belt, one he'd had his eyes on basically since he got there from New York. So before we get too far into this one, there was an interview cut that morning right before the TV show began, with Johnny Valiant, and he kind of explains a lot of what was happening at that time. Charlie started out with the Stud saying he needed to see this. He said, "Ron, I was there. We cut it this morning, and you need to see this." And I'd already seen enough of Valiant, but let's go ahead and do it, right?
All right, let's make that happen. This should be very interesting. I had a hard time figuring Johnny Valiant out. I don't think I ever saw this interview. All right, Brian, do your thing. Let's see this one.
Take a moment to talk to luscious John Valiant, and certainly in the mind not only of the promotion of Southeastern Championship Wrestling, many of the wrestlers on contract here, but in the eyes of the fans and in their minds is, why did you do to Ron Fuller what you did?
Because I felt like doing that to Ron Fuller. I am a very spoiled individual. I was raised with a silver spoon in my mouth. I've always been used to getting exactly what I want. I came down here for an explicit purpose. I was paid by a individual that I do not want to disclose at this time. And I, at this time, stuck my nose in Tennessee Stud's business, if you will. But like I say, I had a fee paid to me, and I am going to see the job done. I never get anywhere, never do anything in my life until I see it through completely, you see.
What we're referring to is you, John, turning against Ron Fuller as a partner.
No, you're referring to
that. And the team of Armstrongs in a recent
match. Yeah, that's totally insignificant, yeah, but I'll agree with you at this time on that. It's totally insignificant this time. What is significant, however, is the fact that I was paid by a certain individual. I do not want to disclose his name for my own purpose and his. I am here. And the second thing that I'll disclose, I'll go right on camera right now and say right now, put me on the record. You can take this to the bank with you, folks. I want that Southeast title. And if I don't get it, I'll be on the first thing smoking up north. And I'm going to tell you something right now, Mr. Ron Fuller, Mr. Tennessee Stud.
All right, Stud, without a doubt, Valiant pretty much laid it on the line, didn't he? I mean, he admitted he wanted that belt, and what really got me was his admitting he got paid by somebody to do what he did. So who do you think that someone was, Ron?
Well, we're going to find the answer out. To that one out sooner rather than later, Dave. Let's put it that way. He gave me plenty to think about, though, in that interview. And in the upcoming Southeastern title match between him and I was not going to be the last one to get bloody, I guess is a good way to put it.
Okay, so these studcasts, I'm telling you, they just keep getting better and better, and being able to see things like that interview we just did is absolutely awesome. That is so cool. All right, so who was in the next match after that profile?
Well, it was another recorded match in its entirety. This one from 1981 TV show that was done, I think it was on the January 10th. It was actual recording date. And the featured wrestler in this one is going to be right in the middle of almost everything going on in Southeastern for quite a while after this. And I'm talking about the big Texan, Ron Bass.
All right, Brian, let's see that one. Let's make that match happen.
Producing in the corner to my left at 224 pounds from Oklahoma, Roy Welch. Roy Welch. His opponent at 280 pounds from Pampa, Texas, Ron Bass. Ron Bass.
And the big Texan, Ron Bass, taking on Roy Welch. Welch giving up quite a bit of weight in this match, Les, but Roy's an outstanding opponent.
Roy, of course, has to make up that differential in size, a little speed, a little wrestling science. And the big man from Pampa, Texas, Ron Bass, of course, a hard, mean, tough man to handle. Collar and elbow, jockey for position. Welch catapults off his cot with a tackle. That's 285 pounds coming at you hard. Roy with a good scoop slam, Charlie, and goes for it again.
Full slam on Ron Bass. And Bass backing off a little, trying to reevaluate his opponent right now. Bass doing something he's known for, giving his opponent time to think about his next move. And also, Bass has a way of getting a little psychological damage on his opponent by backing off and staying in that corner.
That's right. You know, at the opening bell, Bass tried to intimidate Roy. And, of course, I think that's a lot of the reason Ron backed off there just a moment ago. Roy opened up on him, moved right in, was the aggressor. And Bass had figured to intimidate him verbally and was unable to do it.
There you see Tommy Weathers pulling that foot off the bottom rope with the arm bar. It's Roy Welch.
Bass coming to his feet now. He'll be looking for some type of reversal, some way to escape from the arm bar applied now by Welch. Bass goes to the slam route, but Roy hangs on still in command offensively. It's Roy Welch. Ron Bass unable to shake him free. Of course, you know, Charlie, after this match, we're going to be taking a look at a gentleman coming to this area, former North American heavyweight champion, Paul Orndorff. We're going to see him in an arm wrestling contest against the big, powerful Ox Baker.
Also coming up today on Southeastern Championship Wrestling Television main event, the Southeastern Tag Champions, Bob and Brad Armstrong, will take former champions Rose and Condry.
That's right, Randy Rose, Dennis Condry against the Armstrongs, Brad and Dad. And of course, as I mentioned, it is a non-title bout, but nonetheless, we've got it here, we've got it on television, and it should be action-packed. Bass having a love affair with those ropes, isn't he, Charlie?
And for about the third time in the match, Les, he does go to those ropes as a means of breaking the hold. Right now, opening up against Welch, dropping that elbow across the neck.
And of course, now, Bass on the offense. You won't see him with those ropes too much. He'll be trying to keep Welch off balance. Pounding his man down now. Roy trying to stay on his feet, hanging tough down to one knee. And those big hams of Ron Bass's are doing the damage as Roy Welch is staggered. Reverse neck breaker, and Bass brought him down hard on that one, Charlie.
For the pin, two count, but Roy Welch powers out.
Bass comes right back at him, and now it's Ron Bass pressing. Welch trying to stay in there, hanging tough. And Roy, with a good second effort, firing back, heels Bass, and the big man from Pampa, Texas, down, and Roy up to that flying head scissor, nicely executed. And again, and misses it, laid up on that top rope, and let's see what Bass is going from there.
Proper slam. Let's wrap it up. With the power slam, arrow on the part of Roy Welch, he went for that flying head scissors. One too many times, Bass sidestepped his man, and there you see the power slam. Your winner, the big Texan, Ron Bass.
Okay, Ron, I'm probably not telling you anything, but Ron Bass, I don't think he ever had any pity on any opponent ever that I can remember. All right, so how did the TV show end?
Yeah, I do know a little bit about Bass, Dave, for certain, and you're correct about that, man. He had no pity. So this the end of the show here, it's under the strangest of circumstances, really. One of the key matches on the next card was going to be a Southeastern Tag title defense of the champions, Armstrongs, against the former champions, Dennis Condry and Randy Rose. That was what was being advertised all around the entire territory.
Mm-hmm.
2 days before this TV was recorded, Bob and Brad Armstrong, who were, at that point, the Southeastern Tag Champions. They wrestled Dennis Condrey and Randy Rose for the belts in Panama City, Florida. So Condrey and Rose, hoping for a win, had paid somebody to record that match that night. We didn't send our camera crew there, but these guys thought, you know, man, something happens here. We want to show what, and they had a plan to take care of business, basically. So they had someone record the match for them, and they brought that recording with them to the TV station. So the two of them, as had become the norm for them, they kind of came to the set and basically kind of like Don Carson, they wanted to take over the show. And so they wanted to show a video that they said someone had taken and declared that they had already won the belts and they had injured Bob Armstrong's ribs, Brad's ribs in the process. And they said that the card for the next week was being falsely advertised because it said the Armstrongs were the champions and they were going to be defending their belts against Condrey and Rose. But they said they said absolutely nothing about their win two nights ago. So Condrey and Rose said they wanted everyone to know they had already become the new champions and that this video that everyone was about to watch was going to prove that the Armstrongs were basically kissing somebody's butt to get them to say that they were the champions. And they were just basically too proud to say that they'd been beaten already. And certainly they didn't want to say that Brad Armstrong got hurt when it happened. So Charlie and Les were trying to get some control of their show at this point. And when the big mouths at the set basically demanded the director upstairs, kind of like the same thing Carson used to do, to run that video.
All right, so it sounds like a plan of theirs to try to embarrass Bob and Brad to make it look, I mean, as if the Armstrongs were trying to hide this loss. So these two wrestlers were not just ridiculously desperate and cruel in the ring, but outside as well, obviously. All right, so Brian is going to set us up with Condrey and Rose's video. Let's do it.
Well, 1980, he's regained that Southeastern heavyweight title. And, Ron, it's not on at stake in the tournament, but certainly a very expensive, beautiful Corvette is.
It's almost as important as any title. That's a $16,000 beautiful automobile like that. It's a tremendous prize. I don't know if they've ever seen anything like that given away ever in Birmingham. And I'd certainly like to win it. I intend to win it. It's going to take 9 matches, going to take 3 times you're going to have to beat people, and I'm in shape and ready for it, and I'm wanting that car.
And Ron Fuller, the Tennessee Stud's opponent in that first round, is with Charlie Platt. It's Luscious Johnny Vay.
Well, I tell you what, baby, I don't need a Corvette. I don't need nothing else because I got a Hot Rod Lincoln myself. And I'm going to tell you something right now, Ronnie Fuller. I will on this given night here like a Corvette because if it means beating you and kicking you all over the place, I'm going to do it. And I'm going back up north. Back up north in a big, shiny Corvette. Big JV's going to be right down funky Broadway in a Corvette, Jack. Oh, yeah.
In Corvette tournament, you
champions Randy Rose and Dennis Condrey, they defeated the team of Bob and Brad Armstrong for those titles in the last
champions.
Week. We have some videotape highlights of that match, and if
champions.
We could, Wayne upstairs, roll the match in which Rose and Condrey regained their Southeastern tag titles.
And, of course, gentlemen, at this particular point in the match, you are in control, as we can see here, blocking on Brad Armstrong as Dennis picks up the tag. Dennis?
We're always in control, Les Thatcher. Look at here. One bear hug on one little punk-nosed kid here.
You're looking at the finest two that ever stepped in the ring in Dothan, Alabama. All you hillbillies over there know it. All you hillbillies watching know it. Hillbillies, rednecks, you all know that this is the finest two and the best because we got what it takes, and we got this, and we're going to hang on to it.
A lot of people are asking us why we're wearing these big smiles, Les Thatcher. We're wearing these big smiles because we're wearing these Southeastern belts around our waist. That's why we're smiling so much.
$1 million talent with $1 million smile, right, cuz?
That's right, baby. You got that right. Truer words have never been spoken.
Look at this. I was just doing a little workout with a kid there, pumping him, you know, picking him up and down because I didn't get to the gym yesterday.
Yeah.
We got a kind of block over here like the 49ers, you know.
Of course, there are a couple spots in this tape we want to call the fans' attention as we get down towards the end of the match. We're some 2 minutes away from that. Right now, as you see Brad Armstrong battling back, trying to break loose, make the tag, and see Bob making the reach from the corner, trying to close that distance down. And here, Randy moving in, blocking Brad Armstrong, and Dennis taking back
right
over.
You will not see a finer team than this right here.
Now let's watch it here as Brad finally makes the tag and Bob Armstrong comes in to go to work. First on Randy Rose and then on Dennis Condrey.
Yeah, look what he's doing. Karate. This is not wrestling. This is karate. Look at that judo chop to the throat. We should have been the champions right there. Look at here. The man's gone crazy.
We ain't through no
fist. We came here because his son can't wrestle.
We ain't through no fist. I want you to look in the background there, Les. Just look in the background. We had a sellout crowd in Dothan, Alabama, came to see the two cousins.
Now watch. You're Dennis, you're going into your knee pad for something.
I'm adjusting my knee pad. It slipped down, and all I did was adjust it.
Rose throws Brad Armstrong
over
the top rope.
We went three armholes over the top. I don't know where you get all that from.
I want you to watch here. Brad coming up is going to see what's happening. Randy Rose going to that top rope. Dennis Condrey setting Bob Armstrong up.
To break the
and Brad does
neck.
The only thing that's left to do, and that's sacrificing himself. To save those knees, that knee from coming down onto the ribs of his father.
And you see,
valiant effort,
one,
no doubt.
The two, and the three, and you got your champion standing right here.
Look at him, he's knocked slap dab out with one right hand from Dennis Condrey. He's
The lights are out. Turn off the light. They're gone.
Well, then, I see that you've been going to that knee pad quite frequently lately, Dennis.
Let me say this, Les Thatcher. I got a knee pad here that's not too tight on my knee. Every once in a while, I have to pull it up because it slides down my leg. Now, I like to keep it up here because this is what this is for. This is a knee pad, and I don't like for it to slide down.
Got
to
protect them knees, boy. Like
these are $1 million
knees
right here, baby.
With $1 million smiles, and we got the best.
Well, Charlie, they are the new champions, and the tape speaks for itself. I guess we're ready for some action.
Yes, our next event about ready to get underway. Let's go to the...
All right, Ron, if everybody saw the video like I did, that was a frightening video for real. It showed how they used a foreign object. Then, when Brad tried to save his father, they jumped off the top rope on Brad's back, injured his ribs. Condrey and Rose, man, they were getting nastier every week, it seems like. So, after the vicious video, after that video, it could have been the end of that show. Was that, it had to be near the end, was it?
Well, absolutely not, actually. Bob Armstrong came to the ring by himself. And he was ready for anything at this point. For the past 2 weeks, he'd been wrestling Dennis Condrey in these warm-up matches each night before the 8-man tag matches. And on this day, he was going to be in the ring with Randy Rose in a single match for the last TV, the main TV, basically the TV main event. And obviously, Brad was nowhere to be seen at this point because he had already been hurt. So when the bell rang, Bob took off, into Randy Rose like a man possessed. And why not? His son was obviously hurt. And he had just watched these two try to embarrass his family. And one of the men responsible for the injury to Brad happened to be standing across the ring from him. So, he tore into Randy Rose. And Dennis Condrey was standing on the floor next to the ring post, right by the dressing room door, right in the corner that would have been, if he'd have been in a tag match, he'd have been standing on the ring. But he wasn't, but he was out there on the floor. The studio crowd, man, was going crazy as Bob was, same as Bob, within minutes. And it didn't take long before Dennis Condrey, he had no choice. He had to hit the ring to save his partner. Bob was doing a job on Rose. And so Bob met Condrey on the way in, and he started working on him. And he had him left right where he left off, basically, on Rose. Hmm. He took up on Condrey, and he was kicking Condrey's butt now. So everybody in the studio was on their feet. The place was going nuts. And then Mr. Saito came in out of the dressing room. He slid under that bottom rope right behind Bob's back, and he applied a sleeper hold to Bob, one that none of us in the dressing room had ever seen before. Saito had so many different Japanese moves that none of us had seen. And so we saw guys watching on the monitor, see him slide in there, and he puts this crazy looking sleeper hold on Bob, and Bob goes right down. Tennessee Stud, Paul Orndorff, and Melville Austin, they all charged the ring, just as some of the studio fans was charging the ring. Actually, the fans were going to try to pull Bob out of the ring. And so Bob and Condry, Condry, Rose, and Saito, man, they shot out of the ring and right back into the dressing room as fast as they could. So Bob did the entire last two-minute interview of the show totally by himself. And, wow, it was amazing. He left a lot of fans in the stands crying. You know, they even took a couple of shots of the bleachers, and the people were really, really, really into this. So he explained how much his son meant to him. And, wow, and Bob and Brad had a great relationship. And he said, and then the last thing he wanted to see, he told everybody, was to see Brad get hurt. And he says, and now Condry and Rose were going to have to pay for it. And and that was, and then he said, and so was that Jap that sneaked up behind me, put some kind of sleeper hold on me.
Wow.
So when he left the set, and he basically left a studio full of fans, man, all of them on their feet.
Oh, I can imagine. All right, so that's a great way to end a TV show, and as I recall, one of the great endings of its day. So I can't wait to sit down and watch this TV show on the TennesseeStudStreaming.com channel. All right, so what happened the next week on that great card that had just gotten better on this TV show?
Robert Gibson got his third straight win, beating Alexis Smirnoff in the opening match. He'd been there for 3 weeks. He'd actually gotten wins in all his matches since he had arrived. Paul Orndorff got his win his very first night, and it was basically his second week in the territory over Oki Shikina. And just like Gibson, he had not lost a match either. Mr. Saito got his third handicap win, man. He had done this three times. This time he had both Ted and Jerry Oates as his opponents. And, wow, it was a very impressive win. These two guys were good wrestlers. It was, I've gained a lot more respect for Saito watching this match. You know, he was becoming a monster. I mean, yeah, I don't know. We were looking at a lot of the baby faces were looking at each other and thinking, wow, what are we going to do with this dude? In the fourth match, Norvell Austin and Ron Bass, they both got disqualified. Jimmy Golden and Jerry Stubbs had a magnificent United States Junior Heavyweight Championship match. Wow, it finally involved two referees. Second referee came to the ring. It ended up with both men getting their hands raised, each one by a different referee. The belt was not awarded to either man, and it was actually held up. And 9 days later, there was going to be in Mobile, Alabama, a one-night tournament to find a new United States Junior Heavyweight Champion. Then in the Southeastern Tag Championship match, Bob showed a lot of guts. Brad came. Wow, I was amazed. Taped up his ribs, and he showed up, man. He had a lot of guts and determination, and he came to the ring every night that week with his ribs taped. But he and his dad could never quite get the belts back. Couldn't ever get the win, but Brad showed up, man. I was really proud of him. The Tennessee Stud successfully defended his Southeastern Championship against the challenge of Johnny Valiant. And some of the bloodiest matches in the territory's history, man, during the course of that week.
Wow. I mean, that it sounds like a tremendous night for fans. I mean, it really sounds like a big time. How about the attendances in the four major markets? Lay it out for us.
Well, Birmingham was cranked. Birmingham was on fire. Those people had never seen the kind of matches and the kind of wrestlers that had shown up there in the last, basically, they'd only been there for less than 6 weeks. So Birmingham at 6,000 the week before. It came back with another 6,000 again, building just about packed. Mobile was full because it was in the expo hall. It had 5,900. It could cram in 6,000. So it was only about 100 or 200 fans short of where it had been the week before. Montgomery made up a little bit of that difference. It actually went up in attendance by 100 fans. And Dothan ran on a Friday night, and we had a rare week out of the in which we were totally out of the farm center. And I'm sure you recall, Dave, in December and in January, in the wintertime, there were a couple of weeks that the farm center had events other than wrestling. So we went downtown to the Civic Center. And the Civic Center is a beautiful facility. Yeah. It held a little more than the farm center did. Mm-hmm. So it held about 6,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Civic Center was only maybe, well, maybe not quite 10 years old at that point.
The new building was a beautiful facility, man. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went down there not knowing what to expect, whether farm center fans were going to come downtown to this nice, fancy building. But they showed up, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they enjoyed the cushions under their rear ends. So it was a much nicer place. The farm center famous, the Houston County Farm Center famous, but it was metal bleachers that you were sitting on underneath the concrete, on top of the concrete. So anyway, there was a difference in comfort level. You're right about it being unusual to not be in the farm center and to be in the Civic Center in downtown Dothan, which was slightly bigger, but not available as often. So how many did you draw there?
Well, we drew all of it whole, Dave. It was sold out, man. They had 6,000 screaming fans that showed up, and they saw one of the bloodiest matches imaginable between the Tennessee Stud and Johnny Valiant. In fact, that match is going to be just one of the matches that we're going to show in the next Studcast. That actual match, pieces of the end of it. That obviously will be able to be seen by everybody on the TennesseeStudStreaming.com channel next week. But you'll be able to hear the commentary on it if you don't have the streaming channel.
Yeah, you know, Stud, I hate to keep saying it, but these new Studcasts with videos added are remarkably better than having just the audio to listen to. It definitely is the future for Studcast. And speaking of the future, where are we riding next week, Stud?
Well, everything was just getting better each week, man, at this point. In early January 1981, not just for us, but I got to say for the entire country back in those days. Ronald Reagan had finished his first year, basically, and he had set the country on fire. The economy was taking off. And so was Southeastern Wrestling at that point. Besides the new stars arriving, we were going to have our first one-night card tournament in Birmingham. Since the opening of Southeastern Gulf Coast back in 1978. So for the first time, we were going to give away a car. And we were going to be giving away a beautiful black 1981 Corvette in a 10-man tournament, which was going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm. Plus, on that same card, we're going to have a World Junior Heavyweight Championship match with Norvell Austin against the champion, Les Thornton. And also, Bob Armstrong is going to defend his Alabama championship belt for the first time since he won it, which was about 6 weeks earlier. And he was going to be against Mr. Saito. Those matches are going to be barn burners, fun, fantastic matches between Bob Armstrong and Mr. Saito.
That is crazy, Stud. I mean, whoa, because you're talking about all of that in one night in Birmingham alone.
Yes, we certainly were, Dave. And then let's talk about the next night. Things were just really, really on fire there. The next night, we're going to be in Mobile. And we were back in the main arena this time. It was going to have a World Junior Heavyweight Championship match. Les Thornton was going to be Russ and Jerry Stubbs in that match. There was going to be a Southeastern title match. Tennessee Stud was going to be Russ and Johnny Valiant. There was an Alabama title match. Bob Armstrong was going to be against Mr. Saito for the first time in Mobile. And a Southeastern tag title match with Paul Orndorff and Norvell Austin against the champions, Dennis Condrey and Randy Rhoads.
Wow.
Then on top of all of that was going to be a one-night tournament for the United States Junior Heavyweight Champion with six guys in it.
All right. I mean, that is crazy. You got to be kidding. It's two of the best cards I have ever seen anywhere. How can you possibly top that, Stud?
Well, I guess hopefully, man, with another loaded stud cast, man, we're going to tell the story of both these cards next week. We're going to talk about two major cards next week. And also, we're going to have another group of videos, video interviews, especially the video interviews of nine different wrestlers in the Corvette tournament in Birmingham alone. So, and a bunch of other videos, including matches as well next week.
That is so awesome. A brand new black 1981 Corvette. I mean, you had to make it black, Stud, no doubt. I can see, since you have now done have the videos to add to the regular Studcast with cards like the ones that you've just announced here, I mean, you intend to make your TennesseeStudStreaming.com channel one of the best in the world. So is there anything you would like to add before we wrap it up today, Stud?
I'd like to welcome, man, and thank all the new fans that have found their way to the streaming channel. Thank you, all of you, for your wonderful comments and how much you like it. And I hope you enjoy your journey with us throughout my wrestling company's old school wrestling history, man. That's basically what that channel's all about. So please take care of yourselves and others, and may God bless us all.
For Ron Fuller in the great Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, I'm David Summers saying thank you for listening. Find me on Facebook at facebook.com/dsummers955. On Twitter, X, Dave_Doohan. On Instagram, it's instagram.com/DavidSummersProductions. And hit me up anytime at davidsummersproductions@gmail.com. This Studcast is a David Summers production for Tennessee Stud LLC. Thanks for joining us today for this historic Studcast. The true story continues next week. So fool Nelson your friends and point them in our direction for another ride with the Tennessee Stud.
One, two, three.
This is David Summers saying so long from the great Smoky Mountains.